Good evening, I'm Christian Esguera, and welcome to this episode of After the Fact, where we get to see things more clearly, where we get a better sense of the truth. So let's begin by dissecting the news. A viral post by a business owner pretty much sums up the frustration of many over the Duterte administration's handling of the latest Delta variant surge. Inchang Mendoza related how her restaurant staff was all set for reopening. In fact, they had conducted a general cleanup and bought kilos of meat. But at the last minute, Malacanang announced that Metro Manila won't shift to a general community quarantine for the time being. So what happened? Duterte later spent 2 hours in a recorded public address, but never did he explain why his administration walked back on a decision which had been announced days ago. Tonight, we'll look more closely into this mess and how the government is handling or perhaps losing control of the ongoing surge. Now, be part of our discussion. Send us your questions and comments in our YouTube live chat or tweet us using the hashtag ANCAfterTheFact. Joining us tonight is former Health Secretary Esperanza Cabral. Also with us is Dr. Maricar Limpin, co-convener of the Healthcare Professionals Alliance Against COVID-19, and she's also the president of the Philippine College of Physicians. We're also joined by Dr. Nemuel Fahutagana. He's the chairperson of the Medical Action Group. Good evening, doctors, and thank you for joining us on the program.
Good evening, Christian.
Good evening, Christian.
Okay, magkakilala naman kayo lahat dito, no? So it's like a reunion of sorts among doctors. First, I'd like to start with former Secretary Esperanza Cabral. We've been seeing the numbers lately. We've been seeing how the government has been handling the pandemic since last year. From your assessment, especially as a former health secretary, are you happy with the way they're handling this pandemic, specifically this latest Delta variant surge?
Not exactly. I'm not very happy at what is happening. I don't think anybody can be happy with the kind of numbers that we have at present. We have reached more than 20,000 new cases every day. Our average daily death is about 200 or a little bit less than that, but that is too much. That's 200 deaths a day and 20,000 new cases a day. I don't think anybody can be happy with that.
Are you buying the argument that there's no playbook for this kind of health crisis and other countries are also dealing with this problem?
Well, bumenta na yon, Christian. I think that kind of argument of having no playbook was acceptable, maybe in the first 6 months of this particular pandemic. But we have had 18 months of experience. And at this point, we should have written our own playbook already.
Okay. Dr. Nemuel Pahutagana, I've read the statement coming from your group. What I would like to ask at this point is, what frustrates you the most with the way the national government is dealing specifically with this latest Delta surge?
Okay. First of all, Medical Action Group is a health and human rights group. So it's an organization of health professionals who are there to defend the rights of the people in relation to health as one of the rights, no, human rights. Ngayon, kritikan natin, dito sa issue ng pandemya, ay hindi lang ito kasi issue dun sa bilang ng, hindi lang natin concern yung bilang ng apektado na mga pasyente. But we're also concerned the way the administration is handling specifically the other components of the healthcare system delivery. No? Ibig sabihin, tingnan natin, pinakamalaking issue na in-address namin sa Medical Action Group o yung although may mga pasabi na na-release yung mga what's supposed to be expected or to be given to our health professionals, ay matagal na rin natin itong hinihingi. And therefore, the frustration is being, being highlighted by the Medical Action Group. Kasi sa hirap nung dinagdadaanan ng ating mga health professionals na mumabaka sa everyday na struggle ng mga pasyente at ng kanilang mga pamilya at ng kung sino paman ay hindi pa natatanggap yung dapat nilang supposed to be. Parang pinahihirapan. And that was basically the main issue for us in this particular sa pag-address natin ng issue ng COVID. No? So, isa. Pangalawa, yung paggamit na nakikita na natin na unti-unting ginagamit yung COVID, especially even in vaccination and even in decisions sa pamumulitika, no? Parang naalala ko nga si Secretary Flavio noon always saying yung in aid of re-election, no? Kaya tuloy pati yung ating decisions or ibang decisions related to vaccination ay naaapektuhan ng ibang mga political pressures. At nangyayari yan sa mga pamayanan, sa mga communities. And those are being reported to us. At yung pangatlo, yung harassments na nangyayari sa ating mga apektado, no? Ibig sabihin meron na nga silang problema. Tapos they're suffering from all sorts of harassments at saka yung sinasabi ng discrimination ng pasyente. Ngayon nakikita na natin yan. May isang report sa isang hindi may pinutulan ng kuryente, health workers na hindi pinapapasok sa kanilang mga lugar na dapat tirahan because of other people are they fear of being infected also by COVID. So marami sa mutsari yung aming ina-address dito. So hindi lang yung actual na sakit.
Tanungin ko na rin kayo rin sa response by Malacanang, in particular by President Duterte spokesman Harry Roque. The statement that you issued, I think this was during an interview, ang sagot ni Secretary Roque sa inyo, hindi ko alam kung saan planeta nakatira yung mga healthcare workers pertaining to you. Unang-una, how did it start, by the way? Were you actually discouraging President Duterte from running for vice president? But actually, just today, he was formally nominated by his party.
Actually, the issue was if President Duterte would run again, and actually also if Sara also would run as a presidential candidate, what would you parang... Will you support them or will you be against it? Parang ganun ang, and I cannot basically exactly recall. Ang sabi ko lang ay, with all the what's going on at yung naranasan natin sa handling nila ng COVID, may gana pa ba silang tumakbo? Hindi ko sinasabing wala silang karapatan tumakbo, pero may gana pa ba silang tumakbo with all what is going on in our country, especially using as measure, for example, the handling of the pandemic? Yun ang pinaka-issue doon, ano? Sabi natin. At sabi ko, hindi kami, we are not basically pushing for a candidate, but as a medical action group, we are pushing for policies that would address the very issue that we're facing now, including strengthening our primary healthcare approach, including strengthening the universal healthcare and all other approaches, including addressing the mental health issues basically magnified by our current pandemic. So yun ang ating sinasabi. Sinasabing wala siyang karapatan tumakbo. May karapatan tumakbo, pero may gana pa bang tumakbo with all this?
But do you think that was a fair response coming from Secretary Roque? Saan planeta Roque galing?
Ay, hindi.
Or nakatira?
Siyempre, hindi yun fair, no? Ibig sabihin, sa ang planeta kami ay nakatira sa planetang kung saan ang katotohanan ang namamayagpag, no? Namamayagpag. Ibig sabihin, we are in a planet where truth is important. Kaya kung hindi siya naniniwala sa katotohanan, ay baka siya ang nasa ibang planeta. Basta kami nasa planetang katotohanan ang sinasabi namin at pinapahayag tungkol sa kasalukuyang kalagayan nating pangkalusugan.
Okay, I'd like to go to Dr. Maricar Limpin. Of course, you're also one of the medical frontliners. You've been dealing with so many cases since last year. I'd like to get your thoughts with the way about how the government is handling the pandemic so far. Are you as frustrated as Dr. Nemuel, for instance, or unhappy as former Secretary Esperanza Cabral?
Ay, lang audio.
Dr. Limpin?
Yeah, for us in the health profession, I don't think that with what is happening right now, we see a seesaw, no? A seesaw of COVID cases. So we've had three surge already from last year up to now. And then ngayon, we had actually the biggest number of cases, daily cases at So parang ang feeling namin, of course, there must be something wrong, no, with the way we are controlling the pandemic. And definitely for us, it would actually pertain doon sa mga interventions na ginagawa ng ating PAHMA, ng ating government. Definitely, no, government, kasi sila naman ang talagang nagpapatupad nito. Although we in the medical profession will always try to help the government, no? So like, let us say itong nakaraan yung nag-announce nga sila ng GCQ, it was actually parang medyo late kami we got wind of the plan to put NCR into general community quarantine na may granular lockdown. So lahat kami parang sabi namin, actually lahat ng mga colleagues na kakilala ko, particularly the younger ones, no, so these are the people who are really handling the COVID cases. So all of them are actually asking me, since I'm the president of PCP, they were asking me if we are not going to call for a timeout. So that is why we made an effort really to reach out to the interagency task force. Yes, so that they will actually change, no, their decision. Because for us in the healthcare profession, the ones handling the COVID cases, we are actually of the impression, no? And I think this is not just an impression, but we know for a fact that almost all hospitals is more than full capacity.
Okay.
So many of the patients are not receiving already, no, the needed care that they should be receiving. In particular, medicines, kulang, no, okay. Nagkukulang na. And then the respirators, some respirators also, hindi na rin sapat, no, doon sa mga ospital. And even oxygen. So these are things na na medyo mahirap tanggapin for a health professional. So kawawa naman yung mga pasyente and patients are dying outside of the hospital. Okay. So for us, this is a sign, this is an indicator that the healthcare system is really overwhelmed.
Okay, I just want to make this clear also, Dr. Limpin. Do you think the decision to keep the National Capital Region under a modified enhanced community quarantine, that is the right thing to do at this point?
Actually, ang recommendation namin is to put NCR in ECQ. Okay. On ECQ. But of course, when we ask the IATF to put the NCR on a harder ECQ, yung tunay na ECQ, similar to the first ECQ that we had, no? We also recommended that yung mga ayuda na ibibigay doon sa mga taong maapektuhan, dapat that should also be given. Okay. And we even offered to help them, no? Lobby with yung people in Congress so that they will approve additional budget for this.
Okay. Dr. Cabral, what do you make of that mess that was created by the initial announcement a few days ago that Metro Manila would shift to a general community quarantine with different levels of granular lockdowns, only to walk back on that decision on the eve of the implementation?
Well, it was an admission on the part of government that they were not ready for the granular lockdowns that they wanted to impose. They found out that they were not ready one day after they had put people on notice. As you said, as your ano ba ngayon, restaurant owner ba said?
Si Inchang.
Oo, nakabili na sila ng karne dahil magluluto na sila para sa kinabukasan na inaantay nila ng mga parokyano nila. So, ang problema talaga ay, ibig sabihin noon, hindi handa ang ating pamahalaan doon sa granular lockdown at alert levels na sinasabi nila nung ito ay i-announce nila.
But why
make sinabi that naman nila yun.
Oh, nga,
sila rin ang nagsabi.
As someone who used to work in the cabinet, I mean, where do you attribute that? And why make that announcement to begin with in the first place, di ba? if you're not yet sure.
Yeah. No, tama yun, Christian. I think it is because they are really very anxious to get the economy going, and they felt that the granular lockdowns and the non-imposition of the widespread lockdowns that they have imposed on us for the past 18 months was not an option for them anymore. So they really wanted to move quickly to the granular lockdowns, which is not necessarily wrong. Mm-hmm. I agree that the people have suffered enough from these lockdowns, from these ECQs and these GCQs that have become a joke, and that we needed another way of dealing with the problem that perhaps might be better, because obviously the lockdowns are not effective anymore in its implementation, as well as in the ability of the public to follow the rules and regulations during those lockdowns.
But do you think the idea of shifting to granular lockdowns, given the huge number of cases that we're seeing lately, was a good idea to begin with?
No, it was obviously ill-timed. When they were talking of imposing the granular lockdown, we did not have this particular surge. Then we had the surge, and still they insisted that they wanted to do this. So that is what happened.
Okay. Well, but I'd like to go to Dr. Nimuel. Again, let's try to explore this this mess that we're in, because we know that a lot of business owners in particular are very, very frustrated. But on the part of medical professionals, do you think this is the right thing to do, to actually postpone the shift to a GCQ with granular lockdowns? I know people are frustrated because of the sudden shift in decision-making. And number two, siguro pakisagot na rin, Dr. Nimuel, what does this say about the decision-making process at the highest level?
Una-una, I agree with them, Mary, no, Dr. Limpi, na kung ganito kalaki, no, kung ganito kalaki yung ating kaso, which is even bigger than last year, di ba, when it all started. And sabi nga ni Dr. Limping kanina, we were even stricter then, di ba? At that particular point, na kung saan mas mababa pa yung case natin. Eh ngayon, mas marami yung cases natin. Tapos we have this kind of decision-making process. So, medyo mukhang hindi nga tama. I agree with both SP and Mary. Doon sa ano na to na ibabalik natin sa isang general GCQ, when in fact, hindi naman yun ang, yun naman ang nakikita nating situation. But of course, kasi ang burden nito, katulad ng sa pananaw ng mga health professionals na masyadong naapektuhan, ay yung pag hindi kasi ito natin mapigil at lumobo, lalong nagkakaroon ng problema yung ating health workers, no? Ibig sabihin, lalo silang nadadagdagan yung mga shift nila, humahaba ang oras, madami nang hindi nakakapasok, marami nang hindi magkakasakit, at malaki ang ano nito, no? Epekto sa buong delivery system natin. At ang isa pang issue natin na talagang gustong bigyan ng pansin ay yung ano nga ba talaga yung ating contact tracing? Kasi kung mag-i-implement ka ng mga granular lockdown or something, kailangan alam mo kung nasaan nangyayari yung mga kasong yan. Eh nasaan nga, ang sabi lang meron sa Quezon City, meron sa ganito kadami, but How are we really tracing our cases to the point na baka nga kaya siguro hindi nila magka, kasi saan ba talaga natin i-granular lockdown to? Baka pag i-granular lockdown mo sa isang lugar, alburuto naman yung communities na yun. Bakit kami? Bakit yung isa hindi? Di ba yung
actually,
mga ganun?
May idadagdag ako dyan, Dr. Nimuel. Diba? Yesterday, yeah. I was speaking with one mayor. Mm-mm. Of course, the mayor didn't want to be quoted in public, but he was very frustrated with the decision-making process that was happening at that time. And then true enough, the national government walked back on that decision to actually implement the shift to GCQ with granular lockdowns. And sabi niya, matagal na lamang ginagawa yung granular lockdowns in Metro Manila. Ang hindi nila masettle with IATF was, ano ba yung criteria for a community, a street, to be placed under a specific alert level when it comes to granular lockdowns. They were frustrated, sabi niya, because ang isa sa mga sinasabing criterion dun sa hospital utilization, eh sabi niya, paano yung mga cities or municipality na maliit yung ospital at kakaunti yung bed capacity, let's say 30 or 40, obviously puno.
Puno palagi.
Puno palagi. Edi sabi niya, edi forever silang nasa lockdown, granular lockdown. In the same vein, yung mga big cities, for example, may malalaking hospitals, diba, kunwari Taguig, Makati, mapupuno rin yung ospital nila eh. So ano yung forever granular lockdowns? I just want to share this to the public because this is a real issue. And this was made known by one mayor, and according to him, several others were frustrated. They're not just as open as the other mayors in IATF meetings. I'd like to go to Dr. Marika Rilimpin. You were nodding when Dr. Nemuel was talking about the problem with contact tracing. Would you like to add to that?
Yes, kasi as I've been saying all along, ano, yung contact tracing natin, hindi siya, it's not standardized. It's not real time. And so it takes a lot of time. It is basically dependent on the how fast the results of the tests are being released, no? So ang malaking problema doon, some of the contact tracing were being done 10 days, 14 days after yung the patient or the person becomes positive. So, ang tagal. So, paano mangyayari niyan? So, meantime, habang hindi ka nagko-contact tracing, so, marami na siyang marami na doon sa mga exposed sa kanya. Ma-expose din yung ibang tao sa kanila. So, kaya that's why, you know, the increase in the number is really exponential. No? Because we are not really doing the standardized and more effective contact tracing. So, yun, start ko lang ng ano natin, contact tracing, tapos saka ka mag-isolate, saka yung testing mo, will all be dependent doon sa contact tracing na ginagawa natin. So, as I have sinasabi ko standardized, bakit standardized? Kasi dapat same yung system should actually be the same across all local government units. Hindi yung bawat punta mo sa bawat LGUs, iba ng iba. So iba yung gamit sa Mandaluyong, iba ang gamit dito sa Quezon City. So kaya hindi mo talaga matitrace, and you have to realize people here in the NCR very mobile. No, they are not really just will just go in one LGU. So they go from one LGU to another. Kaya masyadong malawak ang naaabot, no, ng virus. And again, exponential ang increase, no, in the number of infected cases.
Okay, contact tracing. I'd like Secretary Cabral to weigh in on this. What can be done to improve this contact tracing efforts once and for all? Everything that Dr. Limpin said were legitimate. Last year pa problema yan, di ba? Bakit pa iba-iba yung ano? We're not even sure whether there's a solid database of all this information, di ba? So again, as someone who worked in government, alam mo pwedeng gawin to once and for all improve. Yun lang muna, very specifically, contact tracing.
Magagawa lang natin na ma-improve ang ating contact tracing kung mahusay ang ating paggamit ng information technology. This is something that is digital in nature. Impossible for us to do manual contact tracing by itself because we are 110 million people, and we are spread in very many islands. And so it is going to be really difficult for us to do manual contact tracing. And it is going to be very difficult to know from one island to another or one region to another. If we are just going to talk on the telephone and submit records in paper and things like those. So this is an impossible situation. And even the contact tracing czar gave up on it. He's the one who said it is impossible to do any contact tracing improvement. All we are doing is contact tracing the household. That's all. Because the average number of people traced for every index case is 5. So that means that is just the household of that particular person.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. After the fact, we'll be right back. Welcome back to After the Fact. We're still joined by former Health Secretary Esperanza Cabral, Dr. Maricar Limpin of the Philippine College of Physicians, and Dr. Nemuel Pahutagana of the Medical Action Group. Okay, let's devote the rest of the of tonight's episode talking about the other problems with the way the government has been handling this pandemic. And I can only hope that our public officials won't be that sensitive or onion skin when we talk about these problems, because if you go by the numbers that we're seeing lately, definitely a lot of things need to be improved. Okay, number one, I'd like to ask about the problem of messaging and leadership from our government officials. How serious a problem is that, looking at how the pandemic response has been since last year? What do you think, Dr. Nemuel?
Okay, I will always talk in the context of our health and human rights na perspective. Una doon sa leadership, ang ating kasing problema dito, parang dalawa yung nagtutunggaling leadership in relation to implementation of all the response. Meron kang Department of Health at meron kang local government and national government, the political entities within the ano, no? Kasi pwedeng mangyari sa local government, meron kang i-implement na may DOH guideline na ilalabas or vaccination schedule, pero pwede namang hindi, iba naman ang ipapatupad ng iyong political leadership, especially sa localized, sa devolved local government system. Na may mga ganito nangyayari, and that will be very difficult in relation to that. Pangalawa din sa context namin ng sa health and human rights leadership, ay yung kawalan ng partisipasyon ng pamayanan doon sa pag-i-implement natin. Parang ang desisyon natin related to lockdown, related to whatever, ay palaging nasa national leadership. Kailan kaya natin gagamitin yung kakayahan ng communities? Halimbawa nito sa mga contact tracing. So, mga contact tracing. Ba't hindi natin nagagamit yung mechanism ng local units, na yung ating mga communities na organized? Kasi baka may magawa sila, mas mabilis na pamaraan, at nagagawa naman natin yan. So itong kakulangan natin na i-mobilize yung ating sector diyan sa ground ay isang malaking ano yon, balakid para mas maipatupad natin ang ating tamang response sa COVID doon sa issue ng leadership diyan.
Okay, Dr. Limpin, would you like to weigh in on that, the issue of leadership and communication? How serious is this as a problem?
As far as communication is concerned, there is really a problem, no? Kasi, like, let us say, for community quarantine interventions natin, ano? Ang dami kasing pangalan, eh, no? So, meron kang ECQ, pero meron kang ECQ with heightened restriction. Tapos, meron kang, ano, GCQ. Tapos, katulad niyan, meron ka pang GCQ with
restrictions.
Ayan, granular lang. And you know, that's why people get to be confused, no? Kasi ano ba ibig sabihin? Siyempre yung ECQ, para kunyari ako, sabihan ko, marinig ko ECQ, alam ko na bawal lumabas except yung mga meron lang like, let's say, healthcare workers lang ang pwedeng lumabas, but the rest hindi na muna, sa bahay ka na lang. So parang medyo alam ko kaagad yun. So for purposes of really making sure na ma-implement yung community quarantine measures mo, very important that you do not keep on changing the terminologies that you use. I think basic yan sa communications, no? I am not a communication expert, but kayo Christian, kayo ang mga communication experts. And I think you will agree with me. Pag iba-iba ang mga terminologies na ginagamit mo, then people now, hindi na nila alam ang gagawin nila, and therefore that greatly affects the behavior. Kaya nga ang mga tao, hindi nila maintindihan, eh. Kaya lumalabas kahit tayo ay nilagay sa ECQ nitong August, no? Kasi ang tingin, meron silang ano, eh, ECQ with ano ba yung nilagay nilang terminologies with restrictions. So eh ano ba ibig sabihin nun? So lahat lumabas, kaya ang traffic, no? And then with leadership, last year pa ito na sinasabi natin, ano, dyan sa decision making as far as this pandemic is concerned, dapat we should be led by the health sector, that means the Department of Health, no? But in this case, hindi naman DOH natin ang ano, ang lead, na agent, ang lead. Sino ba ang lead? Si Secretary Galvez, no? I'm not saying na
hindi ata yun,
ha?
Hindi ano ata ganun.
Hindi.
Ang lead ay ang chair ng IATF. At yun ay si Secretary of Health. Si Secretary Galvez is the chief implementer of the National Task Force. Hindi. For the implementation of whatever the IATF says. And the IATF is led by the Secretary of Health.
Okay. Kaso I think yung sinasabi ni Dr. Limpin, more of what's happening in reality. Para for example, Dr. Cabral, do you really get the sense that it's Secretary Duque who is on top of the decision making at the IATF? Or that
I assume that he is. And if he is not, then he should say something.
Given what you've been seeing since last year, do you get that sense that he is indeed in charge?
Yeah, I think he is in charge.
Kasi ang isang observation, Dr. Cabral, is that even if the structure of the IATF is clearly coordinating, di ba? So representing different relevant government agencies, with the way it's being run by the president, it's as if everyone is still waiting for what the president would say.
Well, yes,
the simple announcement ng lockdowns or quarantine protocols, they have to wait for the president to make that decision, when in fact they're supposedly the experts.
Correct. Well, that is actually true, but it is also true that the buck stops with the president. And really, I think that what is happening is they give the president the courtesy of approving whatever it is the IATF decides. And if the president does not approve it, then they should say, we do not agree with you, or something like that.
Frankly speaking, do you think it would be better for President Duterte to do less talking?
Yeah, in this case, yes.
What do you guys
think? But you know, the president actually needs to lead us in this pandemic response. The president needs to inspire us into following the dictates of the IATF. The president needs to be the first person to see whether the response is correct or not. He's the president.
Okay. So it's not to be misconstrued by some of our viewers. I'm asking these questions because they need to be asked. Number one, if you're the president and you spend so much time in your public address, recorded as it is already, veering away from the issue at hand, that could affect, at the very least, the communication strategies of your government, of your administration. And people might get the impression that you're taking this in a very cavalier way, that you're not taking this seriously. So yun, para tapusin na natin issue ng leadership dito, what do you think of that, Dr. Nemuel? Yung ganun, di ba? You have a clear structure sa IATF, pero do you think you're seeing a reflection of a leadership problem here?
Well, simulan natin sa pinaka-basic nitong pagpapatupad ng, in terms of the response. Unang-una nga, all response will have to be evidence-based, right? Pero kung yung ating ebidensya, yung ating kasama na nga doon yung contact tracing ay hindi masyadong updated at hindi real-time, medyo mahihirapang yung leadership gumawa ng tamang desisyon. At sabi nga ni SP kanina, kung yung while the IATF will be making that kind of recommendation, it would still be the president that will have to say that, provide that final communication. Eh ngayon, kaya talagang tatamaan siya, kasi ang nangyayari ngayon, sabi nga ni SP, the buck stops with the president. Wala na tayong ibang masisisi rito. At kung siya ay nakikinig ng tama at siya ay nag-uusisa ng mas malalim, hopefully nakakakita siya ng mas sinasabi nating mas comprehensive na pananaw related to the problem. Eh kung ang kumpati sa ating leadership ay parang knee-jerk lahat at wala tayong naging problema kasi nating Christian, parang wala tayong nakikitang long term na o comprehensive na program tungkol dito. Kaya sabi ng bago na naman kasi wala eh, hindi natin nakikita yung solid. O minsan pwede naman yung plano mo ay hindi tumama, minsan mag-fail, sabi nga ni SP kanina. We're into 18 months, probably in this first six months, okay lang, meron tayong mga ilang frustrations because of some failure of the approaches. Pero sa haba na ng ating karanasan dito and we're still not able to, for example, develop a certain level of standardized response, automaticity in some of our responses, systems in some of our responses para mas mabilis, eh, hindi natin nakikita. And that speaks of leadership. That speaks of the way things are being coordinated. And sabi ko nga, although naninindigan ng mga health professionals na ilagay sila sa mas what do you call it, mas responsible positions in the making decisions, eh baka talaga namang hindi ba naman tama lang mag-akusa o mag-isip ang mga tao na nagiging masyadong political na yung issue na to. Kaya minsan our decision is clouded, or the leadership position in relation to COVID response is now clouded by their political interest more than the appropriate response to COVID as dictated by science and evidence.
Okay, before I ask Dr. Limpin, I'd like to read a couple of comments from our viewers. Sabi, with no prospect of ayuda, how can a breadwinner who is afraid to lose his job if he has not yet lost it be encouraged to stay home or even come forward to be tested if he felt he got COVID? I mean, that's a valid observation. So I've spoken with several people, ordinary workers, na sinasabi nila, well, baka mas muna kayong mamatay sa gutom, sa kawalan ng trabaho, kaya sa COVID. That's why they're willing to risk it, diba? Another comment is that Duterte should leave us alone, period. So, a very frustrated viewer. Dr. Limpin, among the frontliners that you're dealing with, you're in company with, day in and day out, I mean, how much confidence do they still have in our leadership? It's a very important thing to acknowledge, diba? You guys are, lahat kayo doctors, no? So you're dealing with this problem directly. But I'd like to ask about the frontliners that you're dealing with, Dr. Limpin. How much confidence do they still have in the leadership? Or has that been drastically affected negatively with what they're seeing, with what they're hearing from our leaders?
Well, definitely, Christian, you know, when we talk to each other, mapa nurse, mapa doctor, mapa kahit sino man sa mga healthcare workers, ano, we feel frustrated. We feel frustrated kasi nandito kami, nakikipagyera, pero parang hindi namin nakikita na magkakaroon ng significant na control of the pandemic because we want already to be able to live with the virus, no? Pero as long as we have this much number of cases, I don't think that we will be able to do that, no? And then we hear people saying, or mga politicians, no, yung mapal, even the officials, no, of the national government and even the local government chief executives, no, narinig namin na gusto na nila na parang itutumulad doon sa mga advanced countries, yung mga more developed countries like US, no, in the Europe or even Singapore. Sinasabi nila, why can't you do the same? Kasi we need to live with the virus. But they have to understand that is also our objective, to live with the virus, pero That can only be done if we are at least, no, siguro 50% or 60%, or maybe we achieved herd immunity. Pero ngayon, di ba, with the Delta variant, in-increase pa nila ngayon yung herd immunity from 70 to 90. So actually, medyo nag-worry kami doon, increasing it from 70 to 90. Yes, tama naman na we want to target more people, no, to be vaccinated, pero in terms of kailan natin italagang slowly open up the country, no, achieving 90% herd immunity might be parang might take us too long to get there. So it's really kind of frustrating, no, kasi parang people just keep on changing things without really looking at the evidence. Ito ba, may evidence ba ito? Itong gagawin naming step na ito? So they're not looking at evidence. So for us, we always look at the evidence, and that is what we are trying to recommend always to the government.
Okay, mamaya pag-uusapan natin yung evidence-based. I'd like to ask about the face shields that they are requiring us to wear. Pero in the meantime, I'd like to ask Dr. Cabral. Again, I'd like to take advantage of your experience as a former health secretary, former member of the cabinet. We saw the frustration of our medical frontliners recently after they saw that there was a relatively small amount, drastically reduced amount for COVID response in the proposed budget of the Department of Health. And in fact, wala raw special risk allowance allocated. That's why congressmen are now trying to correct that. Pero alam natin yung budget process, diba? So the budget starts with administration, the budget call, and then magsasubmit yung mga different departments sa Department of Budget and Management. And then doon pa lang meron negotiations, di ba? Hindi ba dapat, Dr. Cabral, mas ipinaglaban ito? I'm talking about the COVID pandemic response budget to DOH. According to the DOH, the proposal originally from them was 73.9 billion. But what was approved by the DBM, and which actually landed in the National Expenditure Program, was only 19.6. I mean, paano ba dapat nilalaban to? The basic question dito, is the government putting its money where its mouth is?
Well, obviously, hindi. Hindi ko alam actually kung nung nag-budget call, and the budget calls are usually in the first quarter of the year, okay? Wala pa yung surge nung March, siguro nung ginawa nila yung budget nila. Hindi ko alam kung yung budget na isinubmit ng DOH sa DBM ay merong allocation para sa special risk allowances ng health workers. Or kung nandun yun, kung binawasan ba ng DBM. Or kung wala yun talaga doon. So that's a question that we have to ask the Department of Health. The end point is that the budget submitted to Congress did not have it. And as they say, Congress cannot add. They can only reduce the budget that is given to them by the executive department. They can also realign, and that is probably what they are going to try and do. I think it is because the Department of Health may not have anticipated that this year we are still going to have a problem with COVID, and that next year we are still going to have a problem with COVID. I think we get lulled into thinking that everything is okay when the surges are finished without taking into account that there can be another surge, and that we are not really sure until when we are going to need money for this. So maybe it was a problem of not being able to anticipate this kind of expense.
But
the other thing is, they may have thought that the special risk allowance will go into a special law, like the Bayanihan 3, and therefore they did not put that particular item in their own budget.
Okay, but again, isn't that a basic expectation on the part of the Department of Health to assume the worst, that this pandemic would linger as much as we would like it to end soon, right? Because I remember even yung COMELEC, in a previous interview months ago, that early they were thinking, they were already preparing for a pandemic hit campaign season, that they were not considering a campaign, an election campaign, where the pandemic is over. So much more so the Department of Health, diba? Hindi ba logical ang naisipin nyo?
That is correct, yes, Jen.
Okay. I'd like to go to the face shields. Kanina sabi ni Dr. Nemuel, dapat evidence-based ang lahat ng decision-making. What do you think of this face shield, especially in the context of the ongoing investigation in the Senate? A lot of people are suspecting, hindi kaya nirequire yung face shields dahil they wanted to accommodate a particular supplier or to create a market for that. So, tanggalin natin doon sa issue ng controversy. Scientifically, is there even a basis for that? Face shields?
Dr. Limpinis. Ang nawala.
Dr. Limpinis, would you like to start?
About the face shield, I think it was our group who recommended that, no? Just for the record, no? We recommended that because we felt at the time there are now new variants, no? Variants of COVID-19. And the new variants that is coming out are highly transmissible. And therefore, instead of, like, let us say, just one mask, mas maganda talaga two masks, no? And we thought that it, if requiring like or putting a face shield will actually be able to help in providing a barrier and therefore giving more protection to people, no, against getting infected from COVID-19.
Dr. Limpin, did you recommend that for all, and in public? Was that your recommendation?
Yes, actually, we really recommended that, the use of the face shield, because we look at the evidence, and the evidence will show that it gives protection. And even in the CDC, that is also one of the things that they look into, no? And that is an additional barrier in the form of a face shield or making use of two surgical masks. So it's one or the other. Eh, yung face shield, para din sa mga mahihirap, they can actually reuse it, no? So it will be less expensive for people compared to double mask. Kasi ang double mask, you have to discard it, no? After some time.
Okay. Dr. Nemuel, any final reminders or suggestions on how we can break out of this cycle of having to return or revert to lockdowns, given that, as you, all of you mentioned tonight, they're not exactly working. And I think a lot of people agree with you guys, no?
Okay. Unang-una, we have to really strengthen the community component of the approach. Katulad nitong sinasabi natin about itong ating face shield and masks and all the other quarantine, all other soup alphabet ng ating mga quarantine terms. No? Ang ano natin dito kasi ay ang communities ay hindi masyadong nabibigay ng tamang komunikasyon at edukasyon tungkol sa mga katulad ng yan, face shield, masks. Iba-iba ang pinanggagalingan, hindi malinaw ang kanilang natatanggap na information related to this. Pero alam natin na in the absence of, ako kasi sa amin kasi sa pamilya, in the absence of vaccination na hindi pa available, eh ito yung pinakamabilis natin at pinaka-available na protection. In the meantime, kasi ang dami na ngayon nangyayari, an evidence have shown that really we can more or less reduce the infection rate by using all this protective mechanisms or gadgets that we can probably provide. Pero siguro pwede rin bang maging available yan, katulad ng mga face shield? Sa ating mga mahihirap sa pamayanan, pwede rin bang maging available yan? Bakit? Baka pwede rin namang i-provide sa ating community siya kasi wala nang trabaho, hindi makatrabaho, hindi makalabas. Bibili ng mga kung ano mga gagamitin na for protections. So nahihirapan talaga yung pamayanan, bibili pa ng pagkain. So kailangan lahat itong pagtingin natin sa amin nga sa public health perspective ay yung lahat ng social determinants ng health ay dapat nating ina-address sa ating COVID response. Kasi ngayon, respond na natin habang nasa ospital na siya eh. At mas mahirap yun. Pero paano kaya yung pampamayan ng control niyan? Andun ang palakasin natin, yung primary healthcare, palakasin yung ating manggagawang pangkalusugan sa grassroots at hayaan maging bahagi sila ng lahat ng to.
Okay. Dr. Nemuel Pocutagana, Dr. Esperanza Cabral, and Dr. Maricar Limpin, thank you for joining us this evening. Maraming salamat po.
Maraming salamat, salamat, Christian.
Thank you. Thank you and stay safe, everyone.
So that's it for tonight. This has been your host, Christian Esguerra. You can watch this episode again on I Want TFC and listen to our podcast on Spotify. Now for recaps and other exclusive content, subscribe to the ANC YouTube channel and catch up with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. See you again tomorrow after the fact.